That's a good sight. Ladies are getting jealous. They want to have the ladies' prayer over here, I'm sure. Yeah? Well, anyway, thank you for that introduction. It's true. I left in 1986. I left Texas for Burkina Faso in the city of Ouagadougou and had the best Christmas of my life and met the most wonderful people and saw the Word of God happen, work in my life. So just like Becky was singing a little while ago, it's not about just mental assent or believing something. It's watching it work, you know, and seeing God take care of you wherever you go. I believe sometimes it probably requires more faith to stay here in America and live the American dream than it does to go other places. So we're all in this together. But anyway, thank you so much for the welcome back. And I was just thinking, I believe the first time I came with Catherine was in 1992, maybe, here to the church.
Yeah, 91, 92.
So it's been a highlight of our year to come each year. And so I'll just give you a little update. We have been working with this little chalet on Lake Geneva. And it's been there for 70 years. Just the last 2 weeks, we had about 15 Arabs, Christian Arabs come and help us reach out to the Muslims that come on vacation because it's hot in the Middle East. So the thousands of Muslims come to Lake Geneva to buy Rolex watches and the rich ones and the poor ones that live there. But these 15 come from Beirut, from Syria, Egypt, Kuwait. They come and help us witness to the Muslims, and it's the same message for Muslims as it is for homosexual people, as for workaholic businessmen. The message just doesn't change, and we don't want to change it. But we saw amazing fruit. We showed the Jesus film in Arabic, and you see the Muslim ladies just come up and sit down there, and they have 90 different languages of the Bible that we just give out. Last year, they gave out 4,000. The largest percentage of language is Arabic, and they give it out on a microchip to the Arabs so they can take it back to their countries. They also gave out a magnet with Lake Geneva and a boat, the picture you saw back there, with a little QR code on the bottom, which has the Jesus film in Arabic on it. And so this is like for 2-3 week outreach. And then before that, you have the Jazz Festival. Last year, I think you graciously had my walk-on music with Smoke on the Water, which is, that's where they wrote that in Montreux, Switzerland. You know that song, anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to forget it still? Yeah. So that thousands of people come from all over the world. And we were out there handing out Bibles, speaking to people. We have the Victorinox Swiss pocket knives. He's a Christian, the CEO in that company. So we have exclusivity for that there. And so people walk up looking for a Swiss pocket knife and they go away with the gospel from all different languages. And at Christmas, they have the Christmas market. They build probably 1,000 little chalets on the lake for 2 weeks, Christmas market, and then they tear it down and put it away for next year. The little booth that we've been working with has been there for 70 years, and they've just been handing out the Word of God. And so we were there at Christmas. Catherine and I went down there for about 2 or 3 hours. The first lady I handed out a Bible in Lithuanian. A girl from Lithuania was there, and we got to pray with her. And then I saw these other groups. Catherine went down to look at all the Bibles, and she saw two Ukrainian Bibles. She picked them up, came back upstairs. I'm talking with Ukrainians. She's giving them the Bible. And then she talks to a group of German tourists and then Italians. And I took a picture of all those Bibles that we have in the storage. And one of the boxes said Urdu. I don't know if y'all know that language. I haven't even heard of the language before. It's in Pakistan and India. I just took a picture and put it up on Facebook. And this pastor friend in London, she works on the streets with Pakistanis. And she saw my picture. She said, we can't find Urdu Bibles anywhere. And I said, we got a whole box of Urdu Bibles. We don't know what to do with these things. And so we shipped them to her. And the Word of God, it's very, very powerful. It's the media is probably the most powerful means of reaching the world, but this booth, they've got people from all the stands, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, all of them come through. The whole world comes here. It's amazing. So thank you for your prayers that we could hold forth the Word of God. It's a very powerful opportunity. And if y'all are ever on vacation or if y'all want to send your pastors, I know how badly they want to get on a plane and come see us in Switzerland. We just vote today. Who votes that they go to Switzerland?
Yes, that'd be great.
Only 4 people? Unanimous decision. They're coming. Anyway, look with me in your Bibles, please, to Joel chapter 2. Our family's doing great. We live about 300 meters down that hill. And my son just moved to Washington, D.C. My daughter's in Japan today, or Korea, and my other daughter's getting married in October. And the family is just doing great. It's the highlight. We're thankful for that. But in Joel, I have a word that I believe is prophetic. I know it's prophetic because it's from the prophet Joel, you know. And I want to talk to you about all the prophets of restoration. It's a whole period in Old Testament time, and I believe that that's the time that we are living in right now. So in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, this is what God's saying. I will restore the years. Say with me, the years.
Years.
Can God restore years?
Amen.
That the locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts. Now, most people believe that that's Babylon, Rome, and today all the nations will come against Israel. Obviously, Joel, he saw grasshoppers, locusts, come into Israel and eat all the crops. And God told the prophet, hey, this is a picture of what Babylon's going to do. This is a picture of what Rome is going to do. This is a picture of what all the nations will do in our day. All the nations will come against Israel because of what we're seeing right now in the Middle East. And it's a spiritual thing. It's crazy how people can side up with them. But anyway, it's going to happen. But God said, I will restore the years that Satan has stolen. And it's like, yeah, I believe God can heal your back. I've had my back healed. I thought back problems were just for weak people till my back went out. And I said, oh God, it's not my brother or sister, it's me standing in the need of prayer. God can heal your back. God can heal your finances. God can heal a headache. God, big, small, he can do some miracles. How many of you believe in miracles?
Amen.
You're probably all walking miracles. God can do it just like that, instant. But what about the years I lost? Many times we think, well, I'm just going to have to live with that. I made a bad decision. I lost those years. I got the wrong education. I got the wrong relationship. I don't know what. I moved to the wrong place. I got the wrong job. They stole that. I went bankrupt. I built the business and went bankrupt after 15 years. I'll just have to live with that on my CV. Well, God can restore the years that Satan has stolen from us. And it doesn't make a difference if it was our bad decision or if we were a victim. It doesn't matter. In this situation, it was Israel's fault. They were in exile. And God said, I'm going to restore the years that Satan has stolen from your life. No, it's just I just got that mark, a bad mark. I'm blacklisted because of what I did or what people did to me. God will restore the years. We left in 86. We started a church in 1992. I had five people on my staff, and we had a bunch of youth, and we had tons of resources. And so we made a video. We are going to go to Pointe-à-Pitre in the Guadeloupe. We are going to start a church in the Pacific, in Tahiti, and all these French countries. We're going to go to start a church in Bordeaux, France, and in Africa, the French-speaking countries in Africa. And I had the young people, and they're great with computers, and they made this great video for me. And it's really nice how they put these flags in all these places. Let's take the world, the French world, by storm. I'm ready to go. So I told y'all last year that we got the left foot of fellowship from that church. They didn't want to reach out as much as I did, I guess. I don't know. But we didn't stop. We started a church in Paris, and we started a church near Geneva, and we started another church in Montreux now, and we helped others start churches in other places. But this year, just a few months ago, I'm in my car, and this guy phones me up. He said, I'd like to invite you to come speak at a conference. And it's a bad connection. I said, yeah, where are you? Well, we're in Annecy. And I was in the car. It sounded like he was in the car. It was a bad connection. I'm busy. I don't know if I want to go to Annecy to a conference. I said, well, I'll call you back. I'm driving, you know. He's bugging me. And then I get home and say, Kathleen, you want to go to Annecy for a conference? I don't know. Who are these people? I don't know who they are. And so I called up two pastors in Annecy in this town. And I said, do you know who these guys are? I said, I don't know who he is. So So then I prayed about it, and God said, yeah, you need to go. So I told Kathleen we're going. Nobody knew who these guys were. I show up. I don't know them. They don't know me. 25 churches. I'm the only speaker at this conference. 25 French-speaking churches from the Guadeloupe, from Africa. One guy was a motorcycle preacher, and he preached from Senegal all the way to Kenya in little churches that nobody wanted to go to. And then the guys from Madagascar and every place that we wanted to plant a church, they were there. 25 churches, French-speaking churches. And I'm the guest speaker. And I didn't have to change all the diapers to get all this stuff done or buy the sound equipment, or I didn't have to do all the sweat and the work. And God is sitting there showing me, like, I can do in a minute what it takes you 25 years to do. And I can restore what people stole from you. I can give you the opportunities that you dreamt about. Like Joseph, his dreams were stolen, and God restored his dreams. Years.
Amen.
I will restore the years that the enemy has stolen from you. In the Bible, there are six books, many psalms, many prophets that speak about this period of restoration. And it's not just for now. It was in history. But throughout the Word of God, this time of restoration, it's something God wants to do in our life. I'll restore your soul. It could be 1 year. It could, in the Bible, it was 1,000 years that were stolen by the devil, and God restored 1,000 years. We're not that far into exile. We might feel like it. But when we go into exile, when we get into a situation we're not sure about, like Becky was singing, we need to trust God, but God is able to restore these things in our life. So, Israel, we'll talk about that in just a second. They got in a situation, they're in Babylon, they left Israel, and they're in exile, and God said, I'm going to start restoring things. They got freed. They left Babylon. They went back to Israel. But they weren't building. They weren't restoring. They weren't finishing the work that God had called them to do. Because they were fearful. They had been threatened. They were under attack. And some selfish interests. They were building their own houses. And they weren't doing the work of God. And so God sent some prophets. Haggai shows up. And he says, God is with you. This whole book, this main message, God is with you. It's the Old Testament. If God is for me, who can be against me? God is with you. Say that to your neighbor right now. God is with you. That's a big deal. It's a pretty simple prophecy. Many times, my children don't worry. It's so long. But this one, God is with you. And this was the motor to get them to finish the work. Sometimes we stop the work. Or we think it's finished. Is God done with me? No, God wants to finish the work he began in you. And he will complete it until the day of Christ. But we need to know God is with us. Just because we retire. My bank's talking to me about retirement. I had a friend, he said, I'm retired, but I'm non-practicing retiree. Zechariah was prophesying to him, get the work done, finish the work. He said that the glory of God will be greater in this new work that he's going to do. He saves the best for last. Is that possible? It was so good in the good old days. The revival in the 1980s was so, when I left Texas, when I left America, Ronald Reagan was president. You know, the economy was good. Everything was good in the 1980s. What'd you guys do with it, man? I've been gone all this time. But we can't live back then. God wants to restore things even greater. Greater than the 80s. Greater than the 50s. One older brother said, amen. I don't remember the 50s. I wasn't back then. God wants to do something greater. He's going to fill this new work with his glory. Can you imagine it? Just for a second. Yesterday, all my troubles. I'll keep my daytime job, don't worry. But many people are singing the Beatles, yesterday, all my troubles were so far away. Oh, I believe in yes. What about the future? I got two amens. Come on, guys. What about the future? What is God going to do? Are you dreaming about it again? God is going to restore it. I'm telling you, God is into restoration. He saves the best for last. He said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and the desire of all nations shall come. Not only was the temple destroyed, but the walls were destroyed. And Nehemiah is going to come and rebuild the walls, your defense, not just to build your relationship with God, but where anybody, any devil can walk through and disturb your peace. But God is going to rebuild the walls of your emotions, of your defenses, to where you're not just a vulnerable city. He's going to rebuild the whole thing. He's going to renew it. He's going to restore it. They started saying, Nehemiah said, God's hand is upon me. Let's rise up and build. When's the last time we have said, God's hand is upon me? It was something they said all the time. It's something they told their pagan boss. They went to work and told their boss, God's hand is upon me. I got to go rebuild this city. Could you give me a couple kilos of gold, please, and some wood? And they got favor from God. God's hand is upon me. 2025, it's like a cliffhanger. I didn't study theater, but I did a little thing, a little research on Greek plays. There's five parts, five acts to a Greek play. Does anybody study theater and know anything about that? You know the words. Prologue is a prologue, exposition. You know, and then you've got a paradox, the rising action in a play. And you've got the climax, the episode in this Greek play. And then, this is the word we don't know so much, stasimon. It's the falling action where all hope is lost. Like, you lost the girl. You know, you're never going to get married now. It's finished. It's over. And then the last scene, which is Exodus, which is resolution. Let me put it in layman's terms. It's like a Hallmark Christmas film. You know, the beautiful girl moves away to New York City and she becomes a lawyer and she comes back for Christmas because she has to. And she gets in a car wreck and this farmer's boy, he's all handsome now, and he rescues her. They fall in love, but then she finds out his dad is taking her dad to court, so they're never going to get married. But at the end, they get married and there's resolution, the restoration, and you can watch the next Hallmark film. It's like a seventh chord. There's got to be the next note. Every period in biblical history has a message for us today. It's 39 books in the Old Testament, but it's divided into 11 periods of history. You've got creation. Paul's reading that. Let there be light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I said that for Ken, Pastor Ken. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, just like God said, let there be light. Christ has shined in our hearts. The new creation. The Apostle Paul got the whole New Testament from the old. Not just creation, but there's a new creation. Our hearts were without form and void, and darkness covered the earth. And God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit made a creation. And now we are a new creation. That's the first period of Old Testament history. Then you go into before the flood, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Paradise is lost. That's the paradox, you see. This is the episode which is causing the plot to thicken. Then you've got, okay, so Adam and Eve ate the fruit. God's creation is lost. And so my son, he wanted to get onto ChatGPT. How many of you already tried it? Stuart was trying to show me last night. But my son got on there and he said, ChatGPT, what is the theme of the Bible in one word? And before Chat could answer, I told him, redemption. God is going to redeem his man and his woman. He's going to redeem. And then Chat said, redemption. He's late, you know. Got to be careful with ChatGPT. But if you're smart, you know how to use it. Stuart was trying to show me last night. Catherine and I, we got in a little spat before I came over on this trip. And so I said, hey, Chat, listen, this is what happened. And Chat told me I was right. That'll make you feel good. That's how you use technology, guys. Conflict resolution at its best. You just got to tell them the truth. So, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. And so man is lost. And so then, you know, the rest of the Old Testament, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and then Israel, the nation is born, and then 40 years in the desert, and then about 1,000 years of history where they're building the temple, and they got kings, a monarchy, Saul, and David, and Solomon, and God has been working on this project for about 1,000 years, and then all of a sudden, all hope is lost. They burn the temple, they destroy the walls, and all the Jews are shipped to Babylon. It's like all hope is lost. How can God restore 1,000 years like that? And then all of a sudden, God starts restoring everything. And it's 6 books, several chapters, many famous verses that you know, and it's something we need to put into our heart. God is going to restore some things in my family, in my nation, in my job, in my relationships. God is going to restore some things. And we need to be focused on this time of restoration, because it's not just for the past, it's for now.
Amen.
Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, in a new translation, it says, all of creation waits breathless with anticipation. In French, an ardent desire. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, a restoration of things the way they should be. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23. Haggai comes along. God is with you. God is with you. He's going to fill this place with his glory. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Then he says, once more, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the desire of all nations will come. Twice in chapter 2. Ezra and Nehemiah, both of them, the hand of God's upon me. His resources, his miracles, his protection. The hand of God will come upon us and even cause unity, the Bible says. Sometimes you can't get people to work together. You can't see eye to eye. The hand of God coming down on the situation. Joel, we already read, he said, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And Malachi and Zechariah are two of the last prophets in this period of restoration. And it's amazing because many of the prophets, like Isaiah, they sawed him in two, or Jeremiah, they put him in jail, and the word of the Lord was rejected. But the prophets of restoration were listened to and heeded and obeyed. And they're very fruitful. They're very small books, so many times we skip over them. But they were very prosperous. It was a great word, a great prophetic word. And it's now for the church that we would realize, you know, when they were in exile, in Jeremiah 33:3, God said, when they were in exile, God said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Many times we think we got it all figured out. I made this mistake. This is the result. And God says, no, call on me, and I will show you some things that you don't know about your husband. I know he's going to get up at 7 o'clock. He's going to drink coffee, read the paper. I know everything about that guy. No, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know about your government. Pray for the government. Pray for your enemies. Paul said the first thing. No, Jesus said the first thing to pray for is your enemies. Paul said the first thing to pray for is the government. We normally pray for my back or something about me. God says government and enemies, pray for them. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And he will restore things. Amen. How can I apply this to my life? How can this happen in my life? Zechariah, he says, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit that this is going to happen. This guy phoned me up. 25 French-speaking churches want me to come, and I'm resisting God. I don't want to do it. They're bugging me. God wants to restore things in your life, and you're saying, just leave me alone. I got my routine. I'm managing this. I'm just managing to keep the house clean, you know? And God wants to open up doors. And we think it's just a bother. But it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by his spirit.
Yes.
My son, he went to school, very expensive school. He got out of school, 1 year unemployment, living with parents at 30 years of age. He had a great attitude. He kept listening to me preach, kept believing. He was translating me, standing right there, saying everything I was saying from the Bible. He was applying to all these jobs all around the world. And finally, somebody called him up from Washington, D.C. They headhunted him. He's in Boston Consulting Group now on the 11th floor looking at the White House, and he's a manager, and he skipped it. He's just crazy. You can't even write this stuff. Yeah. It's better than a Hallmark Christmas movie. Just amazing things God wants to restore and do in our lives. If we just keep believing, keep the switch of faith, and realize it's not by power, it's not by might. Yeah, because I tried everything. Well, it's not about you trying. It's about what God is going to do in your life. Number two, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. We started a Bible school outside of Geneva in France. We had to wash our own sheets and bedding, dishes, everything. We had 15 students. I didn't really like a lot of them. And I'm sure they didn't like me. I was their only teacher. We had like 300 hours, and I think I taught five of those classes, each one 16 hours long, teaching all the potatoes and the vegetables of Christianity, the basic Bible doctrines and theology and Old Testament survey, New Testament survey. And from that one school, they took all of our teaching and started another school in Quebec. And Kathy and I, we were just there a couple of months ago, and now it's... Once again, that's a small school, 15 students, minus 25 degrees when you show up. Your breath just freezes and falls on the ground. And we went to this little school. You think, what is ever going to become of this stuff? I was kind of discouraged, but you'd feel the presence of God, and you keep going. Just keep doing what you know to do. The school in Quebec, they started, a graduate started a school in Haiti with 500 students now. Another student from Quebec started a school in the Congo, 500 students in Kinshasa. And so we've been there every year, twice since then. And then they start, I'll be in Paris at the school next month. The Paris is a very dynamic school with people from all around the world. And that was kind of my dream from the beginning. Pol Pot and Ho Chi Minh, they got their communism in Paris. And I thought, man, the church should have been there. They should have got saved in Paris instead of killing all those millions of people that could have been preaching the gospel. So Paris is an amazing place to meet the nations and bring the gospel there. So this Bible school is in now. It started this small thing outside of Geneva. It's now, there's one 5 minutes from my home. It's in Paris, in Nantes, which is close to Bordeaux, Marseille. In the old town of Marseille, have you ever seen The Count of Monte Cristo, that film where he comes up in the boat? The Bible school is like 100 meters from there, right at the police station with a cafe outside, and hundreds of people come through there. And so if we would have focused on minus 25 degree weather in Quebec or washing our own sheets in Annemasse, France, we would have despised the days of small beginnings, and we would have not seen the restoration of God. And this is all part of this very important period of history in the Old Testament. You're not building a memorial or a statue for a revival in the 1980s or for something for Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or any of these big men of God who I really love and received from. But we're not working for that. We're not working for Hillsong or for Tulsa or for Liberty. We're not working for something in the past. We're working for the future. And that was the message of Zechariah. He was saying, it's not about the past. The Messiah is coming. And he spoke about two comings of the Messiah. Zechariah said, he's going to be coming on the donkey. And you'll see him, and you'll see that you have pierced him. And he talks about this second coming. All of Israel will be saved. That's what all this shaking is about in the nations. Many people are getting discouraged about the shakings that are going on. But this shakings is bringing the Messiah for the second time, and all of Israel will be saved. I have a solution for the Middle East. It's not two states. All we got to do is change the name of Jerusalem. Where do I get that idea from? Ezekiel. It said the name of Jerusalem will be changed, and it'll be turned into Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. And the presence of God, I mean, it sounds like I'm a crazy man. You need to put me in a mental institution. But what would you think if I told you in 20 years from now, Jerusalem will be the capital of Christendom? It won't be Rome. It won't be Sydney. It won't be Tulsa. It won't be Liberty. It's going to be Jerusalem. And the Lord is there. He will be there. And that's what the thing of it is we're not working for Jesus to do some memorial for him. We're building the future. How many of you remember Delirious, the Christian rock group? History Makers. Have you heard that song? You don't want me to sing again, do you? Do you remember that song? History Makers? Well, in French, they translate it, and it's not History Makers, it's Future Builders. Because they turn things around. Bâtisseurs de l'avenir. And what we're believing for, what we're receiving from God, is not to build a cathedral for the past. It's something we're working for your kids' future. We're keeping on. And this is what Zechariah the prophet came prophesying. God is with you. God's hand is upon my life. And it's not for the past. It's for the future you're working. And it's for today. It's real. Hallelujah. That's what all the shaking is about. All of that I just quoted, it's like from Zechariah chapter 10 and Zechariah chapter 12. All of Israel will be saved, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Realize this is not just history, it's about the future. In Acts chapter 3, I'm just about to finish, just hang with me. We're in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, you all supported a ministry we've been a part of for years called the Times of Refreshing. But this is where the scripture where that ministry comes from. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. What does it say? It says, repent, therefore, and be converted, so that your sins will be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He, God, may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must keep or receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. It's not just history. We're living it right now, and it's getting ready to happen. People wonder, well, what is going to be the end of all this stuff? It's like we're on a cliffhanger. It's like we're in that phase where we're waiting for the resolution of all things, and Jesus is coming soon. You hear that often. You hear people talk about the return of the Lord, right? I believe Jesus is coming soon. But this is a big part of it. He's going to restore everything. Get used to saying, the hand of God is upon me. Honestly, I mean, when was the last time you said that? The hand of God is upon me. These guys were telling their boss. I went home and said, Catherine, I'm getting that new guitar I want because the hand of God is upon me. No, it's for bigger things than that. It's for any project, any dream that you or I have. The hand of God is on you. God is with you. Let's rise and let's build His blessings, His provisions. Ezra, when he told the king that God's hand is upon me, the king gave him 39,000 kilos of silver, 6,000 kilos of gold. 6,000 kilos of gold. And I remember I was looking at gold prices like 30 years ago. It was $14,000 a kilo, like 20, 30 years ago. Today, gold is $74,000 a kilo. And the king gave him 6,000 kilos of gold. That's $444 million that the king gave this guy because he said, God's hand is upon me. But then, Ezra, he said, I couldn't ask the king for soldiers because I was embarrassed. I told him already God's hands upon me. So we took all the gold and I split it up with the elders to disperse it so that when we got to Jerusalem, we wouldn't be robbed and stuff. And God's hand was upon us and he took us to Jerusalem and we recounted the gold and it was all there. And the wood and all of this favor. God's hand is upon me for God's provision, for his protection, for his unity. Ezekiel, the prophet, said God's hand was upon me and the spiritual gifts. I started having visions and God started giving me wisdom for the future. God's hand is upon me for spiritual giftings. You know, I go to Africa and I say, how you doing? And the Africans, without exception, they always say, by the grace of God, I'm doing okay. How's your wife? By the grace of God, she's doing good. Every phrase is by the grace of God. And God wants us to get used to saying, the hand of God is upon me. Can you just say it with me once, just for once, to say, the hand of God is on me. It changes things. Monday morning, you look in the mirror, you don't say, in French we say, je suis bête. I'm stupid, why did you do that? No. When you look at yourself in the mirror, say, God's hand is upon my life. He's restoring things. He's restoring the years. Get used to saying it. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, submit yourself to the mighty hand of God. That's when Satan will flee from us. When we submit ourselves to the hand of God. Okay, God, I submit. Your hand is upon me. Your authority, your protection, your provision, unity with the people I'm working with. Amen. In Psalms 126, when the people of God were leaving Babylon, verse 1 and 2, it says, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were like those who dreamt. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then the nations said, the Lord has done great things for them. One translation said, our hearts were throbbing with joy. You remember when you're 10 years old, the night before Christmas, and your heart was throbbing with joy? That's what life, that's what abundant life is about. We're supposed to have tons of joy. We're supposed to be expecting what God is doing. We're supposed to be calling upon the Lord. Show me great and mighty things that I don't know yet. Amen. For our country, for marriages, for jobs, for finances, for dreams, for relationships. And I'm going to close with this Malachi, the last prophet of the restoration. He's one of the last prophets in the Old Testament. And he's speaking about our days. And he's talking about restoration of relationships. He said in chapter 4, verse 6, that God would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers so that there wouldn't be a curse put upon the land. And in the very last scriptures of the Old Testament, he says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and you will leap like calves released from the stall. Have you ever seen that? In Switzerland, we got these beautiful, big, green, rolling hills and barns. And these cows have been in there all winter long. And then when the spring comes out, these calves just, I can dance like them. I can't dance at a disco, but they just start dancing and they get out in the grass. And that's the vision that God has for people who've been locked up tight in exile. Chained to a post, eating hay. And God wants you out like a calf released from the barn in the springtime. Amen.
Amen.
God will heal your back. God will heal your headache. But he wants to restore years. And we need to stop saying that there's no hope. Or that I made my own bed, I got to lay in it type of thing. That's the old attitude. No, God's making my bed. That's what the cross is all about. That's why Jesus died. He paid the price for my restoration. Things get tough. Even if nothing major is happening, life just gets tough. And my wife and I, we didn't go on vacation this year. We just took some walks. We walked by these rivers, and we were just memorizing, meditating Psalms 23. The Lord restores my soul. He leads me by still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't want to sometimes, but he makes me. I'm going to restore you, Mark. I believe God wants to do restoration in individuals' lives, but I know through the church as a whole, things that were stolen, things, visions and dreams that were long past forgotten, God's going to bring them to life. Amen. Would you stand up with me? If you're here and you've been heartbroken, if you're here and you've lost a dream, if you're here and you feel like you're in that stasimon, you're in that position where all hope is lost, God's going to bring resolution. He's going to bring healing right now, a miracle. Not a miracle of gold dust or filling teeth and stuff like that. I'm talking about years of our lives. He wants to restore bankruptcy. He wants to restore opportunities stolen. Anybody here? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. God's going to do it. He's doing it right now as we're talking. We're not going to have a big healing line. God's just moving right now. He's moving. You know that song, he's moving when you don't see it. He's moving when you don't feel it. God is moving. He is moving. He's doing things in relationships that no pastor, no psychiatrist could ever help you restore these relationships, and only God can do it. He's going to put that first love back. The first love is going to burn. It's going to be joyful. Hallelujah. So brachti kilia bondozi kada. Lapsin denje kete. Lobza kala baba stinga de mamoso kolo baba shatai. Sombrachta kala. A thick darkness is going to cover the earth, but my glory will shine upon you. And the nations will come to the light of its shining. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Believe it. Say it. The glory of God is on me. It's greater than it was before. God's hand is upon me. Open the eyes of our understanding, O God. Show us the hope of our calling, the riches of our inheritance, and the power of God towards us who believe. The same power that he used in raising Christ from the dead and seated him far above all principalities and powers, and made his church, his body, and put Satan under their feet, giving them dominion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let me put a bow on this gift you've been given this morning just quickly, because for the last 5 years, or last 4 years now, I guess, our church has been praying about restoration. Before COVID, our church had about 90 people that would have called Victory their home church. We had a dozen or more teenage kids and young people, and just a lot of folks running around here back in those days. And then COVID came along, and we lost a number of families to COVID that never came back to church. And so we lost our youth ministry, we lost our children's ministry, we just lost all of these things when people left and didn't come back to church. And so for the last several years, we've been praying for God to restore our church and to bring new families back into our church and new people. We've been encouraging our folks, get out and invite new people. Let's see what God will do in restoring Victory Christian Fellowship. And then Mark shared with us the scripture that says, it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. Did you know that next Sunday we're starting a brand new series of messages that we're calling Welcome, Holy Spirit? And we're going to teach about everything that we possibly can about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what his ministry is, what he's capable of doing in our lives and through our lives, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, everything that we can think about where the Holy Spirit is concerned. And we're doing that in the hopes that we will all learn to walk by the Spirit and see God use that to bring restoration to our lives individually, but also to our church corporately as he brings people in. We've got to have people, Mark, we've got to have, when you're a little church, You've got to have people who will come to your church, who will come not just to receive. And by the way, we certainly want to minister to everybody who comes in so that everybody's needs are met spiritually. But when people come to our church, we need people that will come to our church who will not only receive, but will also be here to give. And I'm not talking about money. Obviously, every ministry needs money. I'm talking about giving of yourself. I'm talking about serving. I'm talking about being willing to work to build something together, to build something by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we're going to start that series next Sunday. And by the way, I have to share this. Last night, I found out that one of my grandchildren has learned how to weaponize the fruit of the Spirit. Let me explain that. This is my 3-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Samantha. And Becky's been teaching the little children. This is why, by the way, that Becky started the youth ministry downstairs with 3 little children. This is all we've got. Don't despise. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. And we've got small ones down there. She's been teaching them about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Becky's holding Samantha yesterday evening. Samantha wants her to do something. Ema, she calls Becky, Ema. Ema, can we do this or can I have that or something like that? And Becky said, well, we can't do it right now. Samantha looked at Becky and said, Ema, you're not showing kindness. She's weaponizing the fruit of the Spirit there. That's not what we're talking about, okay? But we are going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and all that He can do through us. And so I'm excited about that. And your message is just right on for me today. If it's not for anybody else, it's for me today. To continue to believe and to hope that God can restore what the enemy has stolen. And so that's what we're going to be doing starting next Sunday. Appreciate so much all of you being here with us this morning for our service. Again, Bible study is Wednesday night, Gospel of Matthew. And then next Sunday, welcome, Holy Spirit. So find somebody that you can invite to come to church with you next Sunday. And let's watch what God will do as He restores our ministry at Victory Fellowship. All right? Amen. Praise God. Let's sing together then, and I'm going to put this down because I'm not singing anymore.